think this is how we're going to start. Well, thank you so much for coming back to Adult Ed. We will welcome others if they're able to join us as we go throughout the morning. I'm playing the introducer for myself today. So I'm Lynn Scales, and I'm the pastor for Formation, Mission, and Outreach, and I'm excited to join in with all the wonderful adult ed that happens here at Nassau, including the small groups as well. As we get started today, why don't we open with a word of prayer? Dear God, we thank you for this beautiful morning and those who are able to gather in this space. We ask that you help us reflect on what we've heard and what we're taking away from the last few weeks as we head into next week. We give you thanks for all that you teach us through one another. Amen. And I also wanted to start us out with a reading from Scripture that Aaron Rafferty had picked out. So again, these books will be for sale after Adult Ed. They're usually $30, and we're able to get them from the publisher for a $20 price. So if you'd like one, they'll be in the back afterwards. But from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function. So we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, and the compassionate in cheerfulness. This is the word of the Lord. So as we think about all the gifts and the different gifts that we each bring, I wanted to start off this morning and we'll reflect on the last 3 weeks. So whatever weeks you were able to join, we're going to talk about what things we're taking away from when Aaron was with us the first week, and then when Jessica and Arendelle were with us the second week, and then Stephen was with us last week. And then we're going to turn and look toward next week with our friends from Witherspoon Street Presbyterian Church in the afternoon at 1:30 on October 8th. And there will be a sharing of a documentary and a presentation of this history project that's been an ongoing work that members from both Nassau and Witherspoon Street have been doing for quite some time. So we're excited about that, and we'll hopefully bridge this theme of good neighbors from what we've been talking about with disability justice in the church, and then what we do in practice as well with our siblings at Witherspoon Street. So let's start with reflecting on what your takeaways are from our time with Aaron in the first week that we had this series. What are things that have stuck with you that you're continuing to think about?
Can it be more of a conversation than some bullet points?
Sure. Thanks, Lolly. And I'm just going to repeat for right now, unless we want to get the mic to each person as they're talking. But I am happy to summarize so we have something on the board to look at. So interested, and I had wondered about that too, as far as having a small group to continue the conversation. What do others think? So the question is, what are ways that maybe NASA could take up this work of justice and disability? Yes, Larry?
Well, I mean, overall, I was very impressed by this series. I think Aaron sort of, at one level, opened it up, but at each point, I mean, Stephen last week was just unbelievable. I must say, the deity in our church means an awful lot. And I think the experiences that we had, forget the names of people in the second session, talked about, I mean, how this could be built into, incorporated into the services, maybe having special services, but even in our major schools, and having the people who are differentially able to participate as they can. I think he's physically disabled, but certainly he's not mentally disabled. But involving these people, I think it speaks to the passage of the Romans that you have, that all this opposition from the church.
And so really involving leadership of even disabled people in what we do together in the life of the church is part of what I'm hearing among all the good things you're saying, Larry.
Hopefully they're comfortable in taking that role on. That might be an issue.
And I think part of that, Val, is that it's really an individual conversation and seeing what the gifts each individual brings. You know, yes.
Actually, on involving disabled people in leadership, I've been thinking for a very long time that our chancel is not accessible and our choir loft is not accessible. I mean, I can't even do minute permission anymore myself because I can't get up and down the stairs without a stair railing. And if you're going to have people in leadership, they have to be able to get into the spaces, the leadership spaces.
Thank you, Juanel, for pointing out those things where there's more that can be done to make it accessible to welcome the gifts of everybody that they bring.
And just to add to that, what I usher every week, if it's my turn to take the offering up and put it on, I get someone else to do that. I'm not comfortable carrying plates.
Right. So just the lack of railings is a barrier to doing things. Nancy, were you going to say something? Did you have your hand up?
No, I'm a little in awe still. I don't know. I think it might be off the topic, but it seems to me that as we age, we become more disabled. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and I don't remember the phrase exactly, Nancy, but I think Aaron mentioned something about considering us all being temporarily able, you know, like that everybody experiences different degrees and different ways of disability due to illness or injury at some time in their life often. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's a really good question, and it reminds me of some of what we heard from Jessica and Arendelle the second week of really making adapting so that everybody feels welcome in a space, right? Larry, what else were you going to say? I saw your hand.
I was just sort of building on comments from Nancy and everyone else. I mean, I think as we get older, we become disabled as well. My former balcony partner is Arlo Duba. And I mean, he continued to want to sit in the balcony as I like to sit in the balcony with Doreen as well. But it was actually scary. I mean, I actually, toward the end, I tried to walk with him up the stairs because it was very, he wanted to sit there, but it was difficult to get there. But in conversations with him, there were also, there were deep things that he wanted to convey. I mean, he had earlier in his life been, until the end when he got, like you mentioned, he was very intellectually inclined, and there was lots of unfinished things. And I'm wondering, in this disabled group, or just maybe becoming disabled, to involve them, right? The youth in there, once a year, or actually in some ways twice a year, they present really amazing series.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should consider, for this disabled one, consider the elderly who maybe haven't been so involved. But,
mm-hmm.
I mean, their vision of the church is probably a bit different than the younger ones, but to hear from the breadth of the community and that.
Yeah. I think involving similarly the breadth of the community. It's important. Yes, why now?
Follow up on what Larry said. For a very long time, I thought that NASA does an excellent job about caring for its older adults, but not such a good job in giving them ministries. Ministries.
So,
I mean, for my entire life, I have felt called to each thing I'm to do next.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, I'm going through, well, what's the next call for me? can't be.
So what is that?
What is that? And helping those of us who are on the aging, becoming less able spectrum, how can we still be relevant and leaders? In fact, I'm going to be doing a photo show in the conference room called Still Blooming. So how can we still bloom as we lose physical capabilities?
I think that's a beautiful that idea, and excited to see the show, but everybody is still blooming.
Yes.
And how can the community help recognize the gifts that each person brings with their unique age and stage in life, their ability, disability, but that enriches our community because we're all together. Yes, David.
Maybe it's just me, but this is a terrible configuration for conversation.
I agree.
Can we sit in a circle?
That is great. If people are willing to move, that sounds great. I am game for this. Thank you, David. Yeah, because you're not seeing people. We are going to have a video in a minute.
So that's why sitting in a U might be good.
Yeah.
But a lot of us have to read lips.
Yes.
A lot of us have to work.
Thank you for making my point.
Awesome. Thanks for the teamwork. Well, last week, Stephen was here. You've already shared how wonderful it was for him to be here. I went back and listened to the lecture portion of what he provided, but I'm wondering what things you're continuing to think about from his time with us.
Second part of his answer surprised me. He said, what you really need to do is look within yourself, inside yourself as individuals, and to find the answer to that.
Find the answer to what?
To how we can be more accessible as a community.
Well, as far as are there any disabled people here in this church?
Physically disabled.
Well, yeah, I know your
well,
son,
they're elderly. Right?
Well,
there are certainly a bunch of hearing disabled people.
Yeah.
I mean, I see people come to the service and go immediately to the hearing aids station, and then they sit, and they know where to sit.
To answer your specific question, Lowy, I've experienced over the course of time that I've been here, the last 12 years, people using the worship space with a wheelchair in different places in worship where we have wheelchair accessibility. I've seen plenty of them. You know, it's sometimes it's steady for a while, and then that person is no longer.
I can't see you.
Okay, sorry.
I think it's a temporarily disabled situation, in that people in a wheelchair for a few weeks, they come. If they are permanently in a wheelchair, they do it online, I believe.
Well, I'm really intrigued by what the Clarks do with that one service a month. I really am, because it's not so much for people in wheelchairs, it's for people who are developmentally disabled, right? Patty's there, you know, Patty's son Tommy, who lives in Greensboro, and she said there's a church there that does a prayer group for developmentally, is that what it is, a prayer group, I think?
Yeah, could be, yeah.
Yeah, I thought maybe she told you about it. So Tommy participates with other like-minded or whatever in this congregation together, and I think that's wonderful, you know, it's a way, I don't know what I'm saying, but there are ways to involve people.
Yes.
Intellectually disabled people.
And I think in Erin's book, she goes on some to talk about a difference between separated and segregated, and the power of having those kinds of affinity spaces where people who have shared experiences can find support and understanding among a community. So just to continue that, you know, yeah.
And so that could include an elderly person who just feels the community. Perhaps they don't even seek anyone. They kind of, you know, we don't know that. But on the other hand, he's in a unified bowling team, and he's a cross-country ski team where everybody else speaks and really doesn't speak much. And there, they learn to just treat them like themselves. And they say, Danny, it's time to sit down now. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not your turn. Danny, it's your turn. You know, that kind of stuff. And he is not as much of a skin in community with them as they are with each other, because it's not verbal. But I think it's, you know, when you talk about a service that's better for people who aren't comfortable in a regular service, I think that's a good thing, but I'm glad that David Danny is in a service that's for everyone. Mm-hmm. And I think part of it is that when you're so much taking something that they're not comfortable with, then sometimes that will be always the case. And they'll choose a church when they're older that is more informal one way or another. Mm-hmm. There are plenty of kind of, I don't know, they used to be called evangelical, but churches that are a lot more informal. Just come into our, have a cup of coffee, you know, sit with your own, you know, you're in a theater, kind of thing, but I think that can end up separating mm-hmm. them because they're not then comfortable with other people. I don't have an answer to that except I think that there needs to be both. But in terms of, you could have a service that was a lot more comfortable in terms of how you sit. Mm-hmm. You could have a service that's a lot more comfortable in terms of the intellectual level of the sermon and that sort of stuff. And then I think that there's a lot that could be done pairing with support, though it might not be a complete pairing, older people with disabled people. Because intellectually disabled people tend to be a lot more, less judgmental. Mm-hmm. They tend to have, first of all, they've all these days grown up in an environment where they're told that they're the greatest thing. And everything is so positive in their upbringing that all children should be treated that way, but don't. They tend to be, they don't have God. You know, they're not into teasing that. Some are, but for the most part, they're not. They're not into being the parent on the set when the ball baseball team doesn't win. They don't scream at their kids. You know, everybody always wins something. Mm. So in Special Olympics, everybody wins a bronze medal or gold. They just tear it so that everybody wins a medal. And I think that's great. And so a person with an intellectual disability might be able to connect with an older person who's kind of losing their faculties mm-hmm. in one way or another, and maybe doesn't even have a grandchild or doesn't recognize their grandchild at all, or they could really develop a connection with someone like Danny. And if you could, but
Yeah. Nancy, one thing that I heard you saying that I think goes with what I heard from Stephen too is to think about the both and of both these places, these having spaces that are more affinity groups and spaces where everybody is included in one space. And to make that effective, both those things, it takes resourcing to do that. I'm going to invite us to move along in our conversation today. And I wanted to share, and we'll see if this is still set up, a video from Mr. Rogers being inducted into the TV Hall of Fame. And Jeff Erlinger is the person who presented his award. Okay, I think we're queued up. And I don't know if you all remember Jeff, but he was on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood in 1981. When he was a five-year-old in a wheelchair, and he shared about his disability, and also he and Mr. Rogers sang together the song "It's You I Like," and that was co-written by Nassau's own Elliot Daly, by the way. But in this scene that we're going to see, it's from the TV Hall of Fame and Mr. Rogers being inducted, and we see Jeff Erlinger presenting this and introducing him, and just as a way of seeing that both these people, the person who is disabled in a way that we can immediately recognize, and Mr. Rogers are bringing a gift to this table and a gift to one another. Larry, were you going to add something? Yeah, that's a good detail to know the background. And we're going to watch not the clip when Jeff was a small boy, but then later in 1999. So now he's an adult. And let's... Oh. Who knows? It was there, and then it wasn't there.
I think it might be a remote thing. We just have to click OK.
Well, I'm not. Here we go.
I'm Jeffrey Erlinger.
It is. Hey. Oh, I'm so glad to see you. Oh, thank you for coming.
My pleasure.
What a surprise.
It's an honor to be here tonight, to be part of your proud moment, this proud moment. You know, when you tell people that it's you I like, we know that you really mean it. And tonight, I want to let you know that on behalf of millions of children and grown-ups, it is you that I like.
As I say, my few words.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, to Jeff Erlinger and all of the wonderful neighbors who have grown up with our neighborhood, this
This was, of course, completely unexpected, and what a wonderful gift. And I thank the Academy for allowing this to happen. Jeff and I haven't been together for a while. We met when he was, I think, 4 years old.
Five.
Such good neighbors. Well, this is what I wanted to tell you before I knew that I'd have this great gift tonight. Fame is a four-letter word. And like tape or Zoom or face or pain or life or love, what ultimately matters is what we do with it. I feel that those of us in television are chosen to be servants. It doesn't matter what our particular job, we are chosen to help meet the deeper needs of those who watch and listen, day and night. The conductor of the orchestra at the Hollywood Bowl grew up in a family that had little interest in music, but he often tells people he found his early inspiration from the fine musicians on television. Last month, a 13-year-old boy abducted an 8-year-old girl, and when people ask him why, he said he learned about it on TV. Something different to try, he said. Life's cheap. What does it matter? Well, life isn't cheap. It's the greatest mystery of any millennium, and television needs to do all it can to broadcast that, to show and tell what the good in life is all about. But how do we make goodness attractive? By doing whatever we can to bring courage to those whose lives move near our own, by treating our neighbor at least as well as we treat ourselves, and allowing that to inform everything that we produce. Who in your life has been such a servant to you? Who has helped you love the good that grows within you? Let's just take 10 seconds to think of some of those people who have loved us and wanted what was best for us in life. Those who have encouraged us to become who we are tonight. Just 10 seconds of silence. I'll watch the time. No matter where they are, either here or in heaven. Imagine how pleased those people must be to know that you thought of them right now. We all have only one life to live on earth, and through television, we have the choice of encouraging others to demean this life or to cherish it in creative, imaginative ways. On behalf of all of us at Family Communications and the Public Broadcasting Service, I thank you for all the good that you do in this unique enterprise and for wanting our neighborhood to be a part of the celebration tonight. Thank you very much.
Thank you all. So one of the things that as we think about the question Mr. Rogers posed, and who has loved you into being your best self is one way I think of it. I also think that that is true for communities as well. So what community are Nassau Presbyterian Church in relationship with that help us be our best selves? That encourage us and to that help us follow God's call to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly. And one of those communities that comes to mind is Witherspoon Street Presbyterian Church. you know, we've been in relationship with them for a long time. And over the last 5 years, there's been a joint committee between the two congregations. A lot of wonderful projects have grown out of that, including the Bending the Moral Arc small groups. And also, I don't know if you've been a part, but the reading of Frederick Douglass's What to a Slave is the 4th of July that the public library has hosted the last several years, that came out of a conversation and idea that group brought from where they'd seen it in other cities. And one of the other projects that's been going on is a shared history project. And, oh, I left the piece of paper. Journey Together, Partners in Faith. No, the other way around. Partners in Faith, Our Journey Together, is what they're calling it. And this group has worked for over the last year with different resources to draw together the oral history of our two congregations. So a videographer, Bob Miola, has worked with them to create a brief documentary. And next Sunday, that will be shared in the sanctuary at 1:30 p.m. And Jonathan Walton, the new president of Princeton Theological Seminary, will be here to speak briefly, and then there'll be a reception afterwards. So hope you can all join. Please invite your friends and family to join. It'll be an important time for us to hear from our neighbors who love us well, and also for us to show up and love our neighbors well. We have about 5 minutes left, so I'm going to skip a part of the plan and move back to Mr. Rogers' question, and just offer you some space to share if there was somebody that came to your mind when he gave just those 10 seconds, or that have come to your mind since, of someone who has loved you well. And we do have, let's pass the microphone this time so that the recording can pick it up too. Anybody have someone that came to mind?
What came to mind immediately was a conflation of Sue Ellen Page, Marty Hazelrig, Dave, blanking on the name, terrible. Dave and who's our assistant? I can't remember.
Lauren.
Who, in my darkest days, sitting in the front row, I would just be crying. Danny would be having a bad day or whatever. And after the benediction, they'd come up to me and say, "We're so happy you're here." And that sticks with me now.
Thanks, Nancy. Who else has somebody that came to mind?
Well, I have a girl cousin who, she and I have probably communicated better together than we have with any other human being. And it's really kind of interesting and remarkable. And something will, you know, it's extremely important.
I guess two people came to my mind. One was my grandmother. I'm not sure that she was intellectually disabled, but she was. She grew up in an abusive, had an abusive stepfather. Her father died when she was very, very small, and her mother married an alcoholic who abused all kids. But she was always singing. I remember that, and it's something I bring to my daughters because. She would in the summers I would always spend a week with her, and in the morning she was always singing and always put herself in the background, but enjoyed the grandchildren around her. I guess the other person is my brother who has schizophrenia. And I mean, he's had a difficult life, but he's touched, he hasn't been as disabled as many schizophrenic people are, but I mean, he does, I mean, he's not been able to really work throughout his life, but he's developed a very strong community of people around him and has been a blessing to the mentally ill in his area and to the church that he's a part of.
Thanks, Larry. There are others?
I think of my parents when I think of that question. Thank you, Lynn, for this presentation. And that is one of my favorite things about Mr. Rogers, is when he gets us to think of the people who loved us into being. So I really appreciate that. But also, I mean, they gave me a faithful foundation. But this church family, which is my church family now, has really transformed that love into social justice activities and really reaching out. And I think one of the things that the sermons, the preaching has taught me is that worship happens all the time, happens outside of the walls of these church every moment of every day. And I really appreciate that.
Thanks, Marshall. And thank you to everyone for having this conversation today among one another. And I encourage you to continue to think about those people that love you well and those communities that love us well as Nassau Presbyterian Church as too. There's a few announcements that I want to make sure we know. We're going to go get the box of books. So if you'd like to buy Aaron's book, you're welcome to. Those will be sold. There are also going to be small group signups that's starting today. We have 8 different small groups at different times of day. That half of them will be a part of the LinkedIn Learning series that will begin October 22nd, where what is happening in adult ed, what is happening as far as our preaching life as a congregation, and the conversations in small groups all link in together. And the other half of them are a varied topics and interest in ways of learning. Some will be on prayer focus, and some are maybe a little bit farther afield from that directly. But hope you sign up for a small group, because that's a wonderful way to be in community with people who are working to love each other well. And also today, we're going to start Lenten devotional signups. So, that's right, Lent, not Advent. If you would like to be a contributor to the 2024 Lenten devotional, please let us know. There'll be a sign-up along with aside the small groups. Or if you have an idea of somebody, feel free to let Larry and I know, and we can work on offering an invitation to them as well. Next Sunday, Reverend Lauren McFeeters will be in this space and talking on an act of faith, preparing for death in the midst of life. So I see some of your faces, but it's an important conversation to consider. How do we celebrate our faith, honor our loved ones, help our loved ones as we make decisions and make plans? For pre-funeral planning, but also just diving into some of those more uncomfortable and difficult conversations. She will be a great leader in that. So,
can I add something to that?
Yes.
A couple of years ago, I was talking to her, and she told me that she has a file folder, and in it, she has different people who've outlined what their funeral, what they want in their service. Did you guys know that?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm in that file, and I keep it updated every couple of years. It's and she
she reads that stuff, and she understands, and she responds. I would really highly advocate coming to hear what Lauren has to say.
Thanks, David. That's the best sell that there could be. Well, thank you all for your time this morning, and please hang out for coffee and come back next week.
Thank you.